Good morning, everyone. We are the Gander Dancers, and we are here to demonstrate a little what happened before the machine age. The railroad moves more product and more tonnage than any other mode of transportation. But before you can move that product, you must have a foundation or a road or tracks to move it on. And what we demonstrate is the beginning and before the coming of the machine age. We are a group of retired railroad men. We run our ages range from 65, which is my age, and I'm the baby, to our senior citizen there. He says 85, but I think he caught a mislooked at his birth certificate. But we'll take it that he's 85. I worked on the railroad for 35 years and 3 months, and I've been retired 11 years. And these men worked on the railroad in excess of 35 years. Vermeeling there, I think, worked 37 years, and these in between. So we were there before the coming of the machine age, and we're going to demonstrate what it took to build America's railroads. Gandhi, the name Gandhi, derives from the manufacturer of the tubes. And the dancer end comes from the rhythmic and emotional motions that the men made while performing their task. We have a little opening number where we introduce ourselves. So if the senior citizen will come forth, and we will give you a little opening, and then I will explain further of what we are doing.
Good evening. Pardon me. This morning, yes.
Yeah.
Good morning, everybody. How do you do? Good morning, everybody.
How do you do?
Oh, we're so
very glad to see you. How do you do?
My name is John Meehan. Oh,
how do you do?
My name is John Meehan.
How do you do? I'm so very glad to see you. How do you do?
My name is Charlie Vincent.
Oh, how do you do?
My name is Charlie Vincent.
Oh, how do you do?
Oh, we so
very glad to see you. How do you do?
My name is Alan Jones.
Whoa, how do you do?
My name is Alan Jones.
Whoa, how do you do?
We're so very glad to see you.
Whoa, how do you do?
My name is C. Wright Jr.
How do you do?
My name is C. Wright Jr.
How do you do?
We're so very glad to see you.
How do you do?
We are the Genny Dancers.
How do you do?
We are the Genny Dancers.
How do you do?
We're so very glad to see you. How do you do? That kind of helped to clear the cobwebs out of throats. You know, a little bit early in the morning, I was instructing the ladies over there is how to make railroad coffee, and railroad coffee is a little different from restaurant coffee or the other coffees. It's a strong brand of coffee, and it's supposed to perk you up. It's supposed to make your hair kind of twingle a little bit. And my uncle, great uncle, worked railroad 88 years, and he used to make coffee every night at 11 o'clock. And I used to hear my great aunt tell him, say, "Major, you don't need to be drinking that old stuff this time of night." And he said, "Hush, mutt, you don't know what you're talking about." He said, this coffee here make your hair stand up, and in the morning it lays back down. So that's some other means to that. But, you know, being reared in the family railroad men. My father worked railroad 48 years, and I learned as a child. I watched them from about age 4 or 5 to on. And as I grew up and I went to the railroad, as I graduated from high school on a Friday night, and I went to the railroad on a Monday morning, I was 17 years old. And before I left, my father gave me some instructions. He said, "Boy, you go out there and you go to work, and I don't want nobody saying they're having any problems of it." You see, I was a mischievous child. I'm still mischievous. And I had learned by virtue of being around my father and the crew of men that worked, I had learned all of the tricks of the trade. So I knew how to make it difficult. I knew how to make it easy. And him knowing that, he sought to prevent me from doing any of those things. He also told me, he said, "When you get that money, you bring it home and give it to your mother. And she will give you what she wants you to have." I found later on why he instructed me to do that, because I come from a family of 18 children. And I'm the third oldest child, and there were 9 boys and 9 girls, and what he was saying is that you contribute to the upkeep of this family. So you're taught responsibility at an early age. Now, in railroading, there's always a woman involved. The women were the motivators. They were the people behind the scene, and they were the people who caused that man to do certain things, even to his dress. They had great pride, and they didn't allow their people or their menfolk to leave home dressed in any kind of way. And this is why you see the overalls and the shirts as they are, because the women took pride. They wanted that shirt starched and ironed. They wanted the overall starched and ironed. And you learn how to do that. So behind the good men on the railroad, there were good women. There's some other things that the women did on the railroad that we'll get to later on. But as you see this section of track here, you can see perhaps envision in your head the tremendous weight. Now put into your mind that before the coming of machine age, men did this. And the men had to be coordinated, and that's where the caller came in. Give you some idea of the tremendous weight. Each one of these cross ties weighed between 350 to 750 pounds. But to see men handle them, you would think that they weighed perhaps something like a 2 or 4, maybe 3 or 4 pounds. This rail is a 100-pound rail. That means that it weighs 100 pounds per 3 feet. And 8 men can take this rail, put it over their heads, and pitch it into a railroad car. That meant that you had to be your muscles had to be really developed. So that brought on the kind of men who did this work. And like Jay Gaither said, they had to have 3 qualities. They had to be agile, mobile, and hostile. Now, he had to be agile because he had to be moved quickly. There's no time to think or let your mind wander. You had to listen attentively, and you had to move when the caller said move, instantaneously. He had to be mobile because at any time, the calls for running or taking quick steps or what have you, to keep from becoming that injury or keep from becoming or losing your hands or your legs or the like. Because, see, at the command, whatever that caller said, that was done in a split second. So you will see that when we begin to sing some of the songs in the lining process. He had to be hostile because he had to be angry. He could take out, and he took his angriness out on his work. But he also had to be hostile to stay among the men. The men were hostile, and if he didn't take on that same kind of behavior, they would call what they call running him off. And many times you would have 40 men in the morning. By 10 o'clock, you might have 30. By 12 o'clock, you might have 20. And then when 3 o'clock come, there might only be 15. Now, those 15 that stayed, they were the pure in heart. So you had to have those who were willing to pay the price for success. Over here, we have some of the tools that we're going to demonstrate. Let's go to this end first. This is what is known as a tie dog or a tie chong. That's a two-man tie dog. See? And tell you what, Alan, come to that end and they can see the movement of it, where the tie is loose down there.
We're going to pull it up.
Yeah, have a seat, yeah. Now watch the movement of this tie. And this, you get an example. You see? Now, if 4 men had that, it would be almost out where that bank is over there, because they could just shoot it. It's like that. But there comes a agility in the hands that they have to disconnect the tongues from it when they do that. And that's all done in a split second. This is the track gauge. Now, all American railroads, it's what we call standard gauge. American railroads, the Canadian railroad, the Mexican railroad, and some parts of South America now most, is a standard gauge. That gauge is 56 and a half inches. And that's the distance from inside to inside. The European gauge, the French, you might say, the English and the Russian gauge is 60 inches, which it says about a 4-inch wider gauge than what we have here in America. But that's the standard gauge. Now, Alan have here what is called a rail dog or a rail tong. And if you, in handling this, if you had 6 men on both ends, see, that becomes like a matchstick. It's just that light because of the tremendous arm strength that these men have. And when the command is given, see, that rail comes out of here away to the side. Now the people on the back side of that only jumps up because they're trying to keep their legs clear. The ones inside carries it to them, see? And that's where you hear the clanging noise and you hear the calls and the like. This is a spike maul. It's a 9-pound hammer. And this is where the men would spike the cross ties to the rail. Even this tie plate here. This is more or less what they call a double shoulder tie plate. Now, this weighs about 35 pounds. So, but you don't go bring one. If you're sent to get the tie plates, you bring an armful. So you are carrying, say, maybe 250 pounds. Charlie here has what is known as a claw bar or a spike puller. And that bar weighs between 75 and 100 pounds. Some even heavier bars weigh even more than that. But the method and the trick to it is to allow the back end of the bar, the weight of it, to pull the spike. See? And what he's doing is keeping it moving. So that's a slide in it. He's letting the back end pull the spike. Okay. These are lining bars or jack bars. Now, being that steel is made of different chemistries, each bar more likely will give off a different note. It is the task of the caller to synchronize those notes or make those bars make music rather than noise. It's the same as a conductor in the symphony orchestra. He arranges his instruments so that they make music. If all the instruments are playing and there's no arrangement of it, it is noise. The bars are the same. You tune the bars and you put them in certain places where they will give off music instead of noise. Each of those lining bars weigh between 75 and 100 pounds. We have the track shovels, and these are shovels that you use to put the grout underneath the ties. Now, you have to pack it underneath tightly, and this is what causes the track to remain level once it has been brought to a level. We have, this is what they call a tapping pick or a tapping shovel for large gravel like this, to grout the gravel, a tapping fork. Now that's about the lightest thing, or that shovel is about the lightest thing out here almost. These are track jacks. Now these are aluminum jacks nowadays. In the days when we started the railroad, they didn't have aluminum jacks. They had cast iron or steel jacks. Well, this jack here weighs about 100 pounds, 125 pounds. That old steel jack weighed about 175 pounds. You didn't bring one, you brought two. And usually that was your first assignment when you went to the railroad. You became the jack boy. And any good-sized surface and crew, that meant that you had 40 jacks, 20 to the side. And they were spaced about. So this is joint, and that's the center there. And usually, the space. Now, you were the jack boy. You were constantly going, transferring those jacks. By the time you put two jacks ahead, you got to go back to the other end, get two more jacks, and bring them back. You didn't want to be the jack boy. Because, see, no one would have to tell you to go to bed at night. No one would have to tell you to come to the dinner table. See, because you would be asking, when do we eat, or where's the bed? And it didn't make any difference or whether the bed was in the barn or in the bedroom or on the front porch or wherever you stopped, that's where you would sleep. But, you know, my father, when I first went to work, my father told my mother, said, "You give that boy some corn and some buttermilk." You know. And she said, "Baby, I'm feeding the boy." I said, "Yeah." I said, "But you give him 12 ears of corn." Well, the mule didn't eat but six. So I had to get a double dose. After a while, I was on 18. because I was the jack boy. So that in itself, now these little small jacks now that they use now, the little short stem jacks, they only weigh about 50 or 65 pounds. So there's been a downsizing of the jacks. This tool here is one of the most important and one of the most critical tools. It's what they call a leveling board. This levels the track, it elevates the track, it puts a curve in the track, or it gives you the dimension. And this is why I tell all kids, all children, pay particular attention to your math, your physics, your chemistry, your algebra, your trigonometry, your calculus. All of that is involved in this board here. And being that America now is beginning to come into another new rail revolution, there's going to be plenty of jobs out there. We are now bringing in the rapid rail system, or we're exploring it. It's a system that the Chinese and the Japanese and the Europeans, the French, is already developing. I'm angry because they have outperformed us. And I want all of you, because you are my future, you are this country's future, I want all of you, you kids, to pay particular attention when you get into those grades or to those skills. Now, even the sun is affecting this piece of rail right now. And how do you calculate what is happening here? It takes a bit of algebra. It takes a bit of chemistry. The rail is elongating. The heat causes steel to elongate. Even on the bridges that we have, if you ever notice the bridge, you got a little roller on there. When it gets hot, that roller allows that bridge on the interstate to expand. This is what's happening here. But you must be able to calculate the elongation of this rail. If you do not calculate correctly or have the ability to calculate, well, then it would be wreckage. Now, as this rail elongates, if you had quite a few rails or you see on a railroad track, you would have to have an expansion joint. It will go somewhere. And usually it goes in the apex of the curve. This is the center of the curve. Now, you got to take this here and you got to calculate how to get to that curve. If you're traveling along at 60 miles an hour on a flat surface, then every half inch of elevation equals 10 miles. You elevate 10 miles, you go full rail length or five rail length, and you have stepped up to 70 miles an hour. You go another 10 rail or five or 10 rail length, and you stepped up to 80 miles an hour. We're talking about trains, express trains running 250 to 300 miles an hour. So I certainly want you to know your math, because I might be on there. And I don't want no hanky-panky. So it's important that you acquire those skills. Only thing that keeps the train on the track is the gauge, the flange of the wheel. You have a 1-inch flange on your train wheel. It runs inside of the rail. And the gravitational pull, that's a little bit of physics. You'll get to it. See? This. The more speed, the more weight, it pulls it downward. That's the only thing keep you on the track. See? Now, if that's incorrect, this gauge is incorrect, or you have miscalculated, it's off to the woods for somebody. And I don't want to go off to the woods. Now, it was a good thing that we disassembled this, and perhaps I'm going to let Brett Brown here is going to demonstrate to you the kind of hand skill in putting a bolt into this joint. You know, on the old railroads, you heard the clickety-clack, the clickety-clack, and that was part of the nostalgia, the part of the enjoyment of riding the train. You sat there and you heard the clickety-clack. Now they have a ribbon rail so you don't hear it, you know. It just runs along smoothly. But, see, you had to do these things with some type of speed, and he's going to attempt to demonstrate there how it's done. And it's the movement in the wrist. And now he's taking it, you know, sort of easy. It's, but when you were putting on joints, so you had the joint man, and this wrench went around in your hand, almost like somebody flipping a stick. Now, we're going to, well, we're going to sing a song or two and give you a demonstration as to what the caller was doing. Now, the caller had to be a psychologist, a psychiatrist, and a sociologist. So he had to get inside of the men's head. He had to know what they were thinking about. And each morning he would go around and he would ask man, hey man, I said, how you doing? And you tell him, well, I'm doing all right. Said, my baby's sick. So now he knows how you're feeling or what's on your mind. And then he might approach another worker and he say, how are you? How you doing this morning? The man said, I tell you what, the old lady and I had a whang dang doodle last night. So we had a falling out. And now he knows what's on his mind. Then he come to another bunch up there and he asked them, the man said, you see that woman up down in that place last night? He said, boy, she was something to look at. See? Now he knows what's on their mind. So he would play on their emotions. So he would play on their inner emotions and their behavior. He knows how to get inside their head. He knows how to set the picture. He knows how to get them to seeing what he wants to see. At the same time, he has to get the work done. Now, if they thought about what they were doing, they wouldn't be able to do it. See? So he had to take their mind away from what they were doing and concentrate on the things that they had. So he would set this picture into their heads. See, because once y'all get inside of their heads, see, they're going to forget what they're doing. And it could be careful that sugar now, because it's coming that way. Hopefully they won't get it that far. Wrap a little bit there, huh? Let me see. Take your foot off there. You're dead in it. Now that happens once every, I say, 1,000 or maybe 2,000 one time, they picked up the balls just right. So they now it's giving off the sound that it's supposed to. I got another bar that comes in there that gives a little different tone to it. So we're going to start with a little nursery rhyme and for the kiddies. We always start with the kiddies, and we're going to start with a little nursery rhyme. Mary had a little lamb, he was white as snow. Everywhere that Mary went, lamb was sure to go. Now Mary had a little lamb, his feet was white, as white as snow. All right. Jack and Jill went up the hill, get a pail of water. Jack fell down and broke his crown. Jill come tumbling out. Jack and Jill went up the hill to get a pail of water. All right. Now, that was a nursery rhyme. You always start, you know, kind of down a little bit, and you're kind of getting it. You entertain the kiddies first. Now, we're going to sort of elevate it a little bit, and we're going to move it up. I say there are any number of kind of calls. You got religious calls, you got fun calls, you got sexual calls, and when the work really gets tough, see, you more or less revert to your sexual calls, because that's what caused that man to really put out his strength. Like I told you, women are involved in all of this. And but we're gonna go that way, but we're gonna move up a little bit, and we're gonna no, let's hold your bars right there. Since we're Meeling, now these are deacons, most of them, except me, one or two of us, yeah. So that's mean I kind of stay away from them, because I don't want no lightning bolt striking me. Because, they be done things, and then the man be at them, and he fool around, and I'm in the midst of them, he strike me. See? So, Brother Meeling, why don't you give a call or two and let me hold the bar? There's a mic right over there. Step over there to the mic. See, this is our senior citizen. You have to take care of your senior citizen. That's when I had him. See, he got tired standing up here yesterday, and he so I put a chair there for him to kind of rest himself.
Oh, working on a railroad lane, cold steel. Hotter the sunshine, the better I feel. Boy, Lonnie. Oh, love my wife, now like my baby. Love my flapjack swimming in gravy. Oh, I'm hungry. I'm ready to eat. I'm ready to eat. Oh, holes in the pocket and batting on the pants. Time in my house when the man wanted that van. Boy, I ain't got it. Oh, drowned in my coffee, boy, even my meal. Tacks in my shoes and they're sticking in my heel. Boy, I'm limping. Oh, my wife need a hat, my baby need shoes. Come on, Dyson, give me two. Boy, did I win. Oh, ain't no need of me working so hard. I got a gal in the white folk yard. She killed the chicken, she saved me head. Think I'm waking, I'm at home in the bed. Boy, I'm sleeping. I'm getting by easy. Oh, ain't no need of me working so hard. I got a gal in the white folk yard. Killed the chicken, she saved me wing. Think I'm waking, I ain't done a thing. Boy, I'm living. But they don't need me waiting so hard. I got a gal in the white folk's yard. Kill the chicken, she save me feet. Think I'm waking, I'm just loafing the street. Boy, I'm living. Whoop!
Thank you. That's the boss trying to make the noise. Now, that was a, sort of a medium type call. And what is happening, see, the caller is getting to the men. He's talking about things that they can relate to, and he's urging them on. Now, he stands off down the track, and you have what is known as the dead eye. He has to have keen sight because he's looking down this rail. You didn't have the instruments, the engineering instruments. So all it was done by eyesight. He had a point that he sighted to, and he aligned the track to that sight. And that's what caused the straightness of the track. And if you didn't have an individual who had that kind of skills, well, then you're going to have a wavy track. But if you had an individual who had that kind of skills, see, and usually you went among the people and you assigned the dead eye. The dead eye always look down the track. So we have a few sets of calls. tell you what, this is another deacon. Don't get me too close to you there, baby. Now, he going to call a few religious calls. And tell you what, let me, you step to the mic. Then let me have you walk.
Hey, 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 sit down. Is you ready?
Yeah.
Rocks of ages clear from me. Let me hide myself in thee. Rocks of ages clear from me. Let me hide. Oh, that's enough.
All right.
I got one more. I got one more.
All right.
Hey, 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 hey.
Yeah.
Is you ready?
Yeah.
Mary, Martha, Luke, and John, all them probably dead and gone. Mary, Martha, Luke, and John, all them probably. Hold on.
All right.
Oh, Lord.
Now, this next fella, he's supposed to be a deacon too. But from some things he was saying last night caused me to wonder. He kind of one of those deacons, you know, like to kind of fun around. And he was making the call there this morning. When we was coming on, he was talking about a woman there. He said, I'm gonna get a chance to say this today. Now, I'm going to remind you, baby, today is Sunday. See? So, but he says he's going to call. I'm gonna kind of stay on this end so I can run. They didn't hear what you were saying.
No, they didn't hear.
See, I need some witness.
You need some witness?
Yeah, you go over there to the mic.
Okay. All right.
See, I want everybody to know it wasn't me.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Early in the morning when I ride, I want my baby by my side. Early in the morning when I ride, want my baby. Right by my side. All right.
All right.
Got one more here.
All right.
Told Evelina before I left, don't let the boy do nothing there. Told Evelina before I left, don't let the boy do nothing there. All right.
Yeah. Come on, I'm gonna try to dress that one up that you said this morning. See,
you dress it up.
Yeah. Now he was coming on and it won't sound as good as it is when you're using that other words, but I'm gonna upgrade it a little bit and try to.
Now you're gonna
better
get in jail and have all of them in jail and get that.
All right. Let's see. Old Lady Donna, she's dead and gone. She all done seen her. Whoa, there. I missed the word. But here's a call. I want to see, can you see this woman now? I think we got this one pretty good. And I want to see. You have to look for her. And I want to see, can you see her? Let's see, get that other bar. Let's see, can we put that tone in? Now you look for her. Oh, get a little closer, man. Mary wore red dress, Sally wore blue. Yon comes Susan in a yellow dress. Now think what you can do. Now Mary wore a red Huh, Sally, whoa. Ooh, hold it down there, see? Could you see the difference in the movement of the track? And that's why you have to be sort of careful, you know. But now, when that caller got it, really got inside of your head. See, you forget what you're doing, and you can see this was moving. Think what would be happening if 40 men was here. You see? It would be going on up. But he got inside of your head in the cut. Usually when you were away from people, because railroad men had a great moral sense of respect. Now, they didn't use the vulgar language around women and children.
No, no.
It usually was down in the cut, and when no women was around, or this type of thing. And this is when they really got down. No sailor can use those kind of words that they could use. And he got inside of the head of those men because the track was tight. It was in the curb, and most times you have to line the curb back in. See, theory of physics. In a curve, the track, why is the expansion? The track is moving this way in the curve. The curve is going this way. So you got to get in that curve and bring it back. See? And it's much harder to bring it back. So this is where he had to really get on. He had to really get inside of your mind. And he went to talking about the people uptown and the women uptown and, you know, and you could see that woman, really. You know? And I've been thinking all night, and I was trying to think of one. Let's see, can I? All right. Up at the railhead, Susie Stewart, she shook up. Whoa, better not get that for. And that's where the dancing came in a lot of times. See, but you have to be careful. And but you know, this being Sunday, it always it brings to mind. I was in Oklahoma in 49, and we was coming up out the cut. We had been in the cut, and we had been kind of raunchy down there in the cut, because the track had really moved out. It had moved so far out until the cars was almost scraping the bank, and we had to get it back in. We had really gotten out of it. Just about that time, along came a woman and a child. The woman was barefoot, and the little boy was walking along. They seemed to be in a hurry. And Russell, the caller, he looked over and saw this woman. And so he had to immediately quiet us down. So he sung this song, and it was going on toward the end. One more time, one more time, one more time, one more time. Lord, I'm glad to be in this service one more time. If my mother, she asks for me, you tell I'm going to Galilee. Lord, I'm glad to be in the service one more time. Now, and that kind of got our attention. And as we got approximately 200 yards from the crossing, there sat the little church out in the woods. A hearse came across that crossing, and he sort of geared us down. We were still a little bit, you know, motivated. We were still a little upbeat. And when that hearse came across the crossing, he looked at the hearse and he called back to us, and he sang this verse. This may be my last time. Oh, this may be my last time, children. This may be my last time. The last time, children. I don't know. And you'd be surprised at the calmness that came over us, because he had got inside our heads. He had called our attention to the hearse, and the hearse had backed up over there at the little church, and they were unloading the coffin, and we quieted down just like pond water. We didn't make any noises. The only thing you could hear was the tapping of the bars, and he was almost doing a, what you might call a silent call, until we went on across the crossing and got away from that vicinity. So that's the motivation, or that's how that caller had to react to how what you were doing. Now, we're going to give one more demonstration here of the twirling of the hammers. And mind you that this is a 9-pound hammer. Now, there's a skill in doing this is the hand and eye coordination. Plus, it's the strengthening. It comes in the wrist, and it's an accuracy, because if they miss, see, too much. Now, we're old now. We can't twirl them as fast as we used to. I used to be the lead spiker, and we spiked a mile of railroad a day. So you really had to go. Your hammers would be going like typewriters. Tap, 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 tap. Now, you can imagine doing that for a mile. And like I said, no one had to put you to bed. No. Get one on the outside now so they can see it over there. Set it good now. Just move up to another one. Okay, you got it. Said it good. All right. That's all right. See, all that's in it. He's making a little music. Now, you can do that and twirling that hammer. You have guys, men who are skillful enough, and they play a tune on that rail with that hammer the same way. But you, and it's a rapidity there. It goes rap, 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 and that's where the man gets, he gets invigorated, and he loses himself. Because he's making music. Now, coming toward the close, and we have, what they say, scratched the surface. There's so much to involve here that we hadn't even gotten to. It would take us 3 weeks or so to get to it. But everything, I guess, must have a closing. So we have a little closing there that our senior citizen, he's the beginning and the end, you know. So he sort of come up with this closing number.
By and by, when the morning comes, and in all the saints, God together and home, we will tell the story how we overcome, and we'll understand it better
by and by.
All right. We thank you.